gave you the numbers earlier, pretty high, and boy, difficult to keep a prison population socially distanced. Chris, thanks for stopping by and give us an update on the numbers right now. Hopefully they're getting better.
Hey, thanks for having me, Greg. The numbers, unfortunately, at Parnell have still been pretty high. The staff there are just doing an amazing job, and what obviously is a very difficult situation. But right now at Parnell, we've had about 160 prisoners who have tested positive. But the nice thing, though, is that out of that 160, 63 of them so far have been medically cleared. They're not technically, we can't consider them technically recovered because the Department of Health and Human Services says you have to be 30 days from the onset of your symptoms to be considered recovered. So obviously, since we didn't have our first case at Parnell until roughly this week in March, so we're almost at 30 days. So technically, nobody hits that definition yet, but we're very close. But we have had 63 of the prisoners who have been medically cleared by our chief medical officer and her team. They no longer have symptoms, and they're no longer contagious, which has allowed us to transfer them to our step-down unit at the Gus Harrison Correctional Facility. And so we're very pleased to see that. So the numbers, while the number of positives are still kind of creeping up, although we haven't seen as many at Parnell in the last few days, which is a good sign that we're starting to, I think, slow the spread and flatten the curve there. But the really nice thing is that we're starting to see people come out the other side and get through this.
That we haven't had a technical difficulty yet, so he'll continue to effort on getting himself back connected. And meanwhile, we want to take advantage of Chris Gouts from the Michigan Department of Corrections while we have him on the phone. Chris, I appreciate your patience this morning.
Oh, no problem. Anytime. Happy to do it.
Well, so we were kind of talking about social distancing and some of the numbers that are coming out of the Department of Corrections and steps you guys are taking to mitigate that within the prison system. And I mean, are there additional things? I mean, we talked to you a little over a week ago, maybe about things you were doing. Are there additional steps you guys have been able to take?
Yeah, the staff have been trying to do everything they can to really encourage the prisoners to really understand the importance of social distancing. And so at Parnell, that they started really setting the framework for other prisons to follow in terms of, just like, you know, when you go to the grocery store, probably you're seeing, you know, cones, or you're seeing, you know, stickers or something on the ground indicating, you know, 6 feet apart. They're doing that with the prisoners. So when the prisoners are standing in the med lines, or when they're going out, where they're going into the chow hall, there are clear markings every 6 feet where prisoners are to stay apart, because, you know, they just don't want them bunching up. And I think especially after we provided masks to all prisoners and all staff, we started seeing a little bit of complacency creep in, where they felt like if they had the mask on, that gave them permission to be a little bit closer to one another, or to speak closer to one another, or be in groups because they were wearing a mask, and they thought that was safe. And we had to remind them that just like when you're in the public or in the community, wearing a mask is not isn't the same. It doesn't give you permission to not still practice social distancing. It's not a replacement for that. So just continuing to do those reminders and encourage everybody to continue to socially distance as much as they can.
What's the possibility or availability, I guess, of testing for the guards, for the corrections workers who believe they may have been exposed or may be experiencing symptoms?
Sure. So our corrections officers, as well as all MDOC employees, first, you know, that what they do is, just like everyone in the community, so they go through their medical provider. You know, they all have state health insurance, so they all would go out through their normal means of reaching out to their doctor or going to one of the, if there's a drive-in clinic. We also have an arrangement with the city of Detroit, because they were able to get some instant testing availability for their frontline workers. And so when we reached out and talked with Mayor Duggan, we were able to get some access to some of those testing slots. And so we have had some of our staff are able to start going there. They worked that out. We have those scheduled. We have a very specific time so that some staff can do that. We're trying to see if we can do more of that. But that's just one way where we're trying to find additional ways in which we can help our staff get tested if they feel that if they need to get a test.
What options, if any, have you guys explored as far as early release for prisoners during this pandemic?
Well, in Michigan, there's no such thing as "quote unquote" early release. Uh-huh. With the truth and sentencing law that was a ballot initiative by the voters many years ago, as a will of the people. It says that you have to serve 100% of your minimum sentence. And in Michigan, so that means if you get a 5 to 10 year prison sentence, you have to serve 5 full years before the parole board has any say over whether or not you can be then released between years 5 and 10. So in Michigan, we've got 38,000 prisoners, and 28,000 of them have yet to serve their minimum sentence, and another 5,000 are lifers. So that leaves us with 5,000 roughly people that we have any ability to release if we wanted to out of 38,000. So, but we have been working through that population. We've been going through, we've paroled about 700 prisoners last month. We're on target to probably parole 700 to 900 prisoners this month, with 200 going out the door this week. Now, again, a lot of that is just sort of our normal process. You know, as a department, we parole about 9,000 prisoners annually every year anyway. But we are going through that list again and looking for prisoners who may be elderly, prisoners who have medically compromised situations, and seeing if there's, as we take another look at them, does the parole board feel safe that they would be a good parole? But just so that we want the public to be aware that no matter whether a prisoner is if a prisoner is elderly or a prisoner has a chronic care condition, and we fear that they may be more prone to getting the virus if it was in their prison, if the parole board feels that person would be a danger to society, they're not getting out, regardless of their age or their medical condition. They're only going to release people who they feel would be able to be safely released, and that's always been our position, and that will still be our position through this and after.
Okay. Do you have a full complement of employees? Has there been any, I don't want to say layoffs necessarily, but people who have requested medical exception to work, or do you guys, is it kind of business as usual as far as the schedule?
The schedule can be very difficult, not just when you have when you have staff who test positive. You lose that individual for 14 days or longer if
right.
they're still sick. But then you also lose anyone who had close contact with that positive person for 14 days. And so that can be very difficult because sometimes, you know, one or two staff people tell us they've tested positive, and then when we talk to them, we find out that there's 8 other of their colleagues that now can't work for the next 2 weeks. And so that can really deplete your staff. And two of our prisons, at one point, a third of their staff were unable to come to work either because they tested positive or they were a close contact. And so it can very quickly decimate a shift or decimate, you know, an entire work site area like the warehouse or the mechanics or the food staff if you don't practice social distancing and all of a sudden all the people that you normally work with very closely together are now not able to work. And so the wardens have been very creative in alternating times when like staff would go to lunch together. Typically, you know, maybe all the teachers would go to lunch together or all of the secretaries would go to lunch together from different parts of the prison. They would all meet up because that was their time for lunch. We can't now they've changed those schedules so that they aren't able to go to lunch together. So that way, if they wouldn't normally meet during the workday, they're not going to during the lunchtime. That way, we don't have those potentials where we have huge chunks of people having to go off if one of them ends up testing positive down the road.
Are some of these some of the corrections officers, other MDOC employees, kind of quarantining themselves from their families and staying in hotel rooms?
Yes, some of them have early on. Some of them made that choice. Some of them were staying, you know, if they had a motorhome or an RV next to their house, or they had they lived in the garage or the basement. So, and those were very, very difficult choices and decisions that those families had to make. And you know, my heart goes out to all of our employees around the state, not just in the places where we have the outbreaks. And so, in recognition of that, Director Washington and the department worked out arrangements with local hotels in the Jackson area and in Coldwater and some of our other areas where we've had outbreaks. And we are paying for free hotel rooms for our employees who are in those affected prisons, including Parnell, and RGC there in Jackson, as well as Cotton. If those employees wish to, they can stay in a local hotel. We were able to negotiate some reduced rates, and then the department is picking up the cost of those so that the staff don't have the worry of potentially bringing that home to them. So it's just another option that we're providing for them.
All right, Chris. Well, again, I do appreciate you hanging out with us through a little bit of technical issue this morning, but definitely
no problem.
Yeah, definitely information we want to make sure that our listeners have. Any parting words before you before we disconnect?
No, just that, thank you to all of our staff for all the hard work they do. These are incredibly difficult times, and our staff and our officers are just doing an absolutely amazing job. And in recognition of that, Director Washington was able to negotiate so that all prison employees, so it's almost 10,000 staff statewide, are going to be receiving now $750 per pay period in their checks as a COVID-19 premium pay. So just another recognition of the amazing work that they're doing and how much we appreciate what they do.
Essential workers indeed over there at the Michigan Department of Corrections. Thanks so much this morning, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris Gouts, Michigan Department of Corrections.